Give attention to the truth that's found in God's holy, inspired word. Listen to this. For the book of Romans, 8th chapter, the 6th verse, the Bible says, following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace, but following after the old nature leads to death. In Proverbs, the scriptures say, the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Bernie Madoff, a well-respected New York financier, one of the absolute beginners of NASDAQ, a man that the world thought was the smartest financial man there. He was arrested in 2008 for running the largest Ponzi-type investment scheme that had ever been unearthed in America. He had been successful in convincing somewhere between 500 and 1,000 extremely rich families to hand their money over to him. Because of his prestige and his background and all, he was guaranteeing them a lifelong income far beyond anything that the U.S. market was making. It was a dream come true for rich people. Bernie Madoff made off of $65 billion. $65 billion. He had a Manhattan penthouse worth about $60 million. He had a beachfront mansion in the Hamptons. And, of course, he had a Florida mansion in Palm Beach. He had the yachts and all the toys that could go with money. Most of his investors never got a penny back. $65 billion. Madoff was sentenced in 2009 to 150 years in prison from the biggest fraud in U.S. history. Now, let me tell you something about Bernie's investors. They were not dumb people. They were not uneducated people. They were not novice investors. They didn't have that wealth because they didn't know how to invest money. They were very rich people from Miami, New York, Washington, San Francisco, Chicago, and Atlanta. Hundreds of families. It is said that on social occasions that you and I would have never been found at unless we were there to work, these rich people would smugly look at each other and smile and say, I'm with Bernie. I know something no one else does. I'm with Bernie. I have found the very special answer to my needs. How could so many people be so dumb? I can't get my eyes around, my mind around $65 billion. But he took it all in. How could so many people be so dumb? Because we believe in our minds what we really want to believe. We ignore facts. We ignore truth. We grab something and we hold on to it and we believe all of those things that the devil says for us to believe and we ignore everything else. These investors should have known that Madoff could not make between 10 and 20% income on their investments when the U.S. Stock Exchange was only making 5% or less. I mean, how can a rich person look at one man who says, I can give you 20%, I can make you 20%, and the U.S. market making less than 5%? They believed in all their hearts that Bernie Madoff could do it. They believed that. They were not wealthy because they were dumb. They were smart people whose hearts made them believe the impossible and the improbable. One of the victims said, we just trusted the guy. We just trusted him. Well, let me tell you some strange things that Americans believe. Some very strange things that Americans believe. In America, 30% of Americans believe that UFO spaceships are from another civilization somewhere. 30% of Americans believe that. How many times have you seen television or movies on Section 52 Area 52 in Roswell, New Mexico? You know what I'm talking about. Sure, you've seen those movies. Out there they got in places where nobody else can see, they got these little bodies that came out of those spaceships. They got these little creatures that look subhuman that they've gotten out. Now, if you don't think people believe that, do you think the movie-making people and the program-making people on television just doing that? Or are people paying to watch it? You know, in the church that I belong to down in Graceville, before I came over here, we have a retired man in there that was stationed there at this spot, and he thought this is the biggest joke he had ever heard. He had been stationed there two or three times in Area 52, and he thought it was a joke. But let me tell you, 30% of the people in America believe that spaceships actually crashed out there, and they were from another civilization. But 60% of the people in America believe in ESP, extrasensory perception. That means like looking in a crystal ball and seeing the future. That means like going to a fortune teller and believing what they tell. It believes that some people have the gift of looking at a deck of cards and knows what the next card down is. A lot of people believe that. As a matter of fact, 60% of the people in America believe it to some point. 40% of the people in America believe that astrology is a science. It's scientific. Astrology. Look at the stars and the way they line up. It's a time to make investments. When it lines up another way, it's a time to fall in love. When it lines up another way, you can do something else. Now, my grandpa believed in that. He planted by the almanac. Did yours? Yeah. I mean, you can see how this thing got loose in America. You see how it got loose in America? And they say that 88% of the people in America believe in alternative medicine. See, we just believe things. We believe it because we want it to be true. We believe it because we want it to be true. In America, there is many unbelievable Christian ideas as there were beliefs like Madoff. When a lost person holds on to a false belief, it could lead him to a sentence in eternal hell. No, losing your life savings, you may get a chance to regain a little bit. But if you lose your soul, it's gone forever. There's no second chances. There's no ever chance of getting anything back. This morning, I want to give you four ideas that are alive and well in America. Four ideas that lots and lots of people believe in. But now, if you believe in these four things, you're just like Bernie Madoff. You're just going to lose, no matter how much you'd like to believe it. So my first statement, my first belief that's alive and well in America is, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe there's a God. Now, all of us have heard that statement. I heard it more in the military than I have in civilian life. You know, there's a kind of a culture in the young military that it's a time you throw off your family obligations or your family belief and all, and you don't believe in God. Over one-third of all the young men and women enlisting in the military today for religion puts down none. Puts down none. Let me tell you what the Bible says. When people says, there is no God, Psalms 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, God does not exist. The fool says that. Now, when the Old Testament uses the word fool, it's not talking about a mentally challenged person. It's not talking about some kind of idiot. In the Old Testament, the word fool means that someone is morally on the inside, if you will, in their hearts, they're morally deficient. Anyone that says there's no God is morally deficient. Something is wrong. The dots aren't connected. Something is wrong there. Now, that's his conviction. That's his conviction, and he's comfortable with it. There is no God. And he's comfortable with that statement. Listen, the fool says to the Creator, "You didn't make me, because you don't exist." Google, whom we're familiar with, using the Gallup and the Pew polls, the most prestigious and the most accurate poll says, in America, 26% of the people do not believe there's a God. One quarter of America does not believe there is a God. You wonder why things go on in America like it does? There are many good American citizens who fear facing God. So to handle that fear, they decide God does not exist. God does not exist. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid. Let me give you a verse of scripture that should wake them up. The psalmist says in the 10th psalm, the wicked arrogantly thinks, there is no accountability since God does not exist. See, that's justification for doing anything in the world. If you don't believe there's accountability, you can live like you want to in sin. If you don't believe there's accountability, you can just do whatever you want to without any responsibility. That's a bad decision. It will cost that person his eternal soul. It will cost that person his eternal soul. He may think he's a smart aleck to say there's no God. But wait. It's a bad decision that will cost him his life, his soul, forever. The second almost facetious statement, and I believe they'll send people to hell. People say, I don't believe God will send a good person to hell. I hear that a lot. I don't believe God will send a good person to hell. Now, most of the time when people say that to me, they're defending in their hearts and minds a parent or an uncle or an aunt or a loved one, someone that they don't want to go to hell, and a good moral, ethical people. And so they decide in their minds, God would not send anyone that good to hell. Well, what's the Bible say? It says in Revelation 20, anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Notice there is no word there for good. There is no word that a good person gets a free pass. No mention of being good. If being good and right, ethical and moral in the world would get you into heaven, Jesus would not have to die, right? If we could get there by being stern and hypocritical and living by some kind of our own personal rules, never saying anything bad, never committing adultery, never stealing anything, never lying, never doing any of those things, if we could make ourselves by willpower not do that, it would not change a thing. If we could get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life by our willpower and our goodness, Jesus would not have had to die. But he did. See, a name gets in the book not by works, by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. That's the way the name gets in the book. Not keeping rules, not being a good citizen, not even by going to church. You can't get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life by going to church. You ought to go to church after your name gets in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you can't get to heaven by attending church. Your name won't get in this book by attending church. If you could, Jesus would not have had to die. Hell is going to be full of good people, really good moral people who were just too good in this world to surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus. And that's a doomed statement. They just did not believe they had to go to Jesus. Hell cannot be avoided by works, nor can heaven be achieved by works. You cannot work to be good enough to go to heaven. You'll fail. You cannot be morally. You cannot be ethically. You cannot be anything that will make you good enough to go to heaven. You just can't. You have to go through Jesus. Hell is going to be full of good people who thought that that was all it took. That was all it took. That was all that mattered. Now, Christians are rewarded, yes, for their works, but not lost people. Not lost people. There is no indication that judgment, anyone is rewarded for good works except Christians. And that's only for what the Christian does that magnifies Jesus. You do that, you will be rewarded. And for a lost person, it doesn't matter how good they've been, how moral they've been, how ethical they've been. If they don't have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're lost. There's a problem, my friend, in our works idea of salvation. That's what the fool thought in his heart. That's what the fool thought in his heart. My third foolish statement that people believe in. And that statement is, I don't believe you have to go to church to be acceptable to God. I don't believe you have to go to church. I believe you can go to heaven without going to church. I believe that you don't have to be there just because the church meets. Well, you argue with God. Because in establishing the church on earth, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades or hell will not overpower it. Now, the pre-Christian era had the temple and the tabernacle. The temple and the tabernacle were places where it was said that God lived. It was said that God lived. But I remind you, my friend, that Jesus did not die for the temple or the tabernacle. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something to think about. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, in the Gospels about Jesus, not one time was anyone ever told to go to the temple. Now, Jesus taught in the temple. He taught the people who came to the temple. A lot of those got saved who came to the temple, but Jesus never told anyone to meet me at the temple. Because that was a building. Listen, Jesus did not die for the temple. He died for the church. Died for the church. Now, you've heard all of your Christian life that the word church is from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means the called out ones. That's what the Greek word means. And I don't want to try to dazzle you with my Greek and Hebrew. You know, when I went to seminary, it was a little joke. I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. Greek runs a restaurant in Thomasville, and the Hebrew runs a clothing store. Well, that's the Greek and the Hebrew I know. As soon as I graduated from seminary, I forgot it all. But I do remember ekklesia. It means a very special thing. It means those that are called out. Those that are called out. The Bible says Christ is the head of the church. I mean, he's the head of this church. And it says in Ephesians 5:25, he loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, people say, you don't have to go to church to satisfy Jesus. Well, he's the head. He runs a place, and he loved it enough to give himself for it. That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us something. Church is where God's family gathers, and he meets his family here. That's why in Matthew 18, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be among them. Now, please understand, he doesn't mean at your house. He doesn't mean on a lake somewhere. He doesn't mean on a golf course somewhere. He doesn't mean in a tree stand somewhere. You know, I don't know of anything he ever even suggested that would take the place of the church. He didn't die for the temple. He didn't die for the tabernacle, the places that would guarantee that he would be there. And then he turns around and died for the church. That's how valuable it is to God. And you're going to look in God's face and say, I don't believe that I have to go to church just to be acceptable? Be careful. People like that go to hell. Remember this. There's mercy as long as we're breathing. But at the moment we die, there's judgment. Now, in judgment, there's justice. There's justice when we die. We Christians are going to get rewarded for what we've done to magnify Jesus. Lost people get what they've done in rejecting Jesus, which is hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. As long as we're living and breathing, there's something called mercy, but it ends when you take your last breath. And then there's justice. There is justice. Be careful to people that say, you don't have to go to church. I mean, Jesus died for it. He gave himself for it. Be careful. My fourth statement, that will send people to hell. How do I know the Bible is true? Science has disproved the Bible. You ever heard that? Science has disproved the Bible. It's all a joke. On the road to Emmaus, the morning that Jesus was resurrected, there were two of his disciples walking along in grief, in sorrow, that he had died. And he started teaching them as they walked. He hid his presence from them, or who he was from them. And the Bible says that Jesus explained to them all the scripture, the things concerning himself. I want to give you a fact. In spite of what people say, in spite of what you might read in your textbook, science has never disproved one single thing in the Bible. Science has yet to prove one single thing in the Bible to be wrong. Actually, it's just the opposite. The Bible has proven a lot of science wrong. Science said the world was flat. You know, when Columbus sailed out of Spain, heading out where he ultimately came to America, or off the coast of America, he was warned, you're going to sail right off the edge and drop into space. But you know, 1,000 years before that happened, Job said, God hangs the earth on nothing. It's a round globe out there. But it took science 2,000, 3,000 years to discover that. Science said you could count the stars up to the 1600s, and you can buy some books, and they got the number of stars in there. You can count the stars. They actually thought they had counted the stars. But you know what Jeremiah said? The stars of the sky cannot be counted. Science cannot prove evolution. It's taught, but science absolutely cannot prove it. Nor can science disprove creation. They can't do it. God will not let either one work. Just like they cannot prove global warming. How many of y'all felt the globe was warm the last 2 or 3 weeks? You can't do it, my friend. Now, I have to read you two things I found in preparing those statements. This is what one scientist said. Science doesn't necessarily prove the Bible is wrong. Listen to this. Just that we've grown more intelligent, and in so doing have no need for certain things in the Bible. That science is a response to the Bible. We are just too smart to need it. We are too intelligent to need it. We're too educated to need it. We're too sophisticated to need it. We haven't proved it wrong. We just don't need that old stuff anymore. Here's what another scientist said. He said, mind you, common sense tells us that magic isn't real. And we say, amen. Then he says, and so people cannot walk on water. And we say, you hadn't read the word. My friend, be careful by saying that science has disproved anything that has to do with God. Next time your professor, next time your friend says, science has disproved the Bible, say, here's my Bible. Take me one verse in there and show me that they've disproved it. And you know what? They won't do it. I know that we go back to what the scientist said. We are smart. Now, we really don't need that, so we can't disprove it, but obviously we're too intelligent to need it. That's a one-way ticket to hell. That's a one-way ticket to hell, my friend. So these are four things that you will hear in this life. I know they're simple. When I wrote them down, I thought how simple they are, and then I remembered that Billy Graham said in one of his books that he prepared his sermons for a seventh grade level. So this is a sixth grade level one this morning. You can say that's too simple. You can say that's ridiculous. But I want you to know people are going to hell on all four of those things. People are going to hell on all four of those things. People are going to hell thinking there's not a God. I mean, they're like Madoff's family folks. That they wanted to believe it so much, they invested their entire savings into it and lost. And that's what people that don't believe there's a God out there. And that's what happens when people think that goodness, kindness, sweetness, public service, and all that will get you to heaven. It just sends a good, kind, sweet person to hell. No one goes to heaven without going through Jesus, without his name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. Science has not disproved anything. But he's got a lot of people in this world fooled about it. If you don't believe it, go to a major university and go into science class, and they'll laugh you out of town. But at judgment, who's going to be laughing? When people tell you you don't have to go to church, well, if you're physically unable, you don't have to go. But if you're in good health and you don't go, don't tell me you're a Christian. Because Jesus died for this place, and then he promised me that where two or three of us walked into this place, he said, I'll be there among you. I'll be there. Now, you can say I don't feel him, but that's your problem. What has God got to do to you? If we get our hearts right, we'll feel him. These four things send people to hell. Are you holding to one of the four of them? Or two? Or three? Are you holding to any of these? If Jesus comes back this afternoon, and he might, you will stand some judgment. If you're a Christian, don't worry, you go to the Bema Seat. Go to the judgment seat of Christ, and you will be judged there on the basis of what you've done. I mean, not for your eternity. That's settled. You'll be judged and rewarded on what you've done for him since you got saved. See, all your sins are forgiven. He won't know about those, but he will hold me and you accountable for what we've done since we knew the truth. If you're lost and Jesus comes this afternoon, there is no mercy. There is no mercy. If you hold one of these four, get rid of it today. We'll have a short invitation to give you a chance to get rid of it in this service today. Don't go out of this building believing one of those four statements or some part thereof, because you are signing your name into eternity. Because the scriptures tell us, unless your name gets in that Lamb's Book of Life, there is no hope. There's no second chance. There's no pardon. There's no parole. There's no end to that place. Don't go out of here today holding to one, two, three, or all four of those. Settle it today. Just come up here and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, forgive me for that. I'm changing my life. I'm turning it around. From this point on, I'm going to take your word as an answer to my needs, and I'm going to live for you. Just do what God tells you to do. Don't leave here today believing one of those four things are part of it, because you'll be like those people that believed in Madoff. You'll believe in something that's not there. you'll believe in a fraud. Only you won't lose your money. You'll lose your soul. Let's stand for prayer.